Azar Zech Nishim Tabachis Shagun of Yehudim Sel Shabbos Taf Kuf Yud Aleph. Dr. Mishnah, if someone has a toothache, he's not allowed to drink vinegar on Shabbos to rinse his tooth with it and to heal it, because no one drinks vinegar like that during the week, so it's clearly for a fool. However, you're allowed to dip your bread in vinegar and eat it, since that's typically done, and if it heals the tooth, so be it. Mishnah says, Vaita, someone who has pains in his loins, he can't smear wine or vinegar on it on Shabbos. Again, that's not the normal thing, but he is allowed to smear oil on it on Shabbos, because that is typically done during the week. However, he may not smear rose oil on it, because that's a very expensive oil, and therefore it would only be done for medicinal purposes, so it's clearly for refuah. The mission that princes are allowed to smear rose oil on their wounds on Shabbos, since they use it all the time. Rav Shimon says, all Yidden are princes. Kol Yisrael b'nei melachamim. Zakhti Gemara, Vachar Bapapa asked, our mission seems to say that vinegar is good for the teeth, but Pasuk and Mishlei seems to say vinegar is bad for the teeth. Zakhti Gemara, the Pasuk is talking about the juice from unripe grapes, our mission is talking about true vinegar. Second answer, if someone has a wound, vinegar heals it. If there's no wound, then vinegar is actually bad for the teeth. Mishlei said, Lo Yigma Behenas Achoimitz. In fact, Gemara Brisa says you're not allowed to drink vinegar and spit it out on Shabbos, but you are allowed to drink it and swallow it. Our mission is mashma, though, that it's also to even drink it and swallow it. Abaye says our mission is talking about drinking it and spitting it out. Rava says our mission could even be talking about where it swallows with it, but the brisa that it allows swallowing is because it's talking about doing it before the meal and it doesn't look like it's done being done only for medicinal purposes. The mission that this is talking about where he drank it after completing his meal, at that point he would only drink it for medicinal purposes, and that's why it's also even if he swallows it. Marius Rava holds of hoyl, that since you're allowed to do one thing in one case, you're allowed to do it in another case. Abazoi, so if you're allowed to swallow vinegar before, if it's mutter to swallow the vinegar before you eat the meal, the chayr through hoyl you should say is mutter after the meal as well. Or it says Rava actually retracted his answer that he gave a minute ago by saying that the Mishnah is talking about where you drank it after the meal and the Brisa is talking about where you drank it before the meal. That's the only time that hoyl would be negeya, but he doesn't answer like that anymore. Therefore, in a chanami, hoyl is not negeya. Meaning that all Yidden are allowed to use rose oil. In fact, how can we suggest that Rav holds like a Shimon in all his coolest? We find elsewhere that Rav says you're not allowed to stuff a material stopper into a hole in a barrel on Yontif because you may squeeze out the wine from that cloth, but that doesn't follow Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon holds that Dav Shem is Kavan's Mutter. Where it says even Rav Shimon holds usher in that case to force the stopper in because it's a psik ratio of lo yomus. In fact, when we find elsewhere that Rav clearly passes like Rabbi Yehuda, so how can we say over here they pass like Rav Shimon? Where it says that Rava and Rav Chiya Bar Oven say that Rav really agrees with Rav Shimon and Echanami that all Yidden can use rose oil on themselves on Shabbos, but for a different reason than Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says you're allowed to do so even if rose oil is very uncommon and expensive for you, still you're allowed to use it. Rav says you're only allowed to do it in a place where rose oil is common and inexpensive, which is how it was in Rav's locale, and that's why he passed me allowed to do it that way. Had Nolach Perek Shmoina Shratzim Perek Ve'eluk Sharim Perek Hamisha Osar. Zok the Mishnah B'siyata D'shmaya. Person would be chayav for tying or untying the knot of camel drivers and of sailors, because these knots are meant to be permanently tied. Rav Meir says, you'd not be chayav for any knot which can be untied with one hand. The Gemara asks, what's meant by a camel knot, driver's knot, or a sailor's knot? The Gemara explains, it's referring to a permanent knot that ties the ring of the camel's nose to the camel's nose, or the ring to the boat. Not the temporary knot of the leash to the ring, or the anchor to the ring, because those are only temporary. We're talking about the permanent type of knots that they make. She said, Rav Meir Omer kol kesher v'chulu. Vachtavoye, the brother of Maracha, asked, according to Rav Meir, is tying a bow usher or is a mutter? Does Rav Meir say that anything can be opened with one hand as mutter because it can be opened with one hand and a bow could also be opened with one hand as well? Or is it because it's generally not tied tight? And that's why he holds his mutter, but when you can open it with one hand, but a bow is tied tight, then maybe therefore it's usher according to Rav Meir. Zakt Gemara, teku, the Gemara blipes with a teku. Zakt the Mishnah, certain knots don't have a chi of chatas associated with them, meaning unlike the camel driver's knot and the sailor's knot that we just spoke about. The Mishnah, a woman is allowed to tie a type of shawl where the right side gets tied to the left shoulder and vice versa. She's also allowed to tie the strings of a hat, of a girdle, of shoelaces, sandal laces, and the strings that are used to close leather jugs of wine and a cloth that is used to cover a pot of meat. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says you're allowed to tie a string across the opening of a doorway to prevent an animal from leaving. In fact, the Mishnah starts off saying there are certain knots that are potter from a chatas. It's mashma, it's potter, but it would still be usher to make. But then the Mishnah goes on and gives a list of examples of knots that are actually mutter to make. They're not just potter and usher, they're actually mutter. It would seem that if anything, you should give a list of examples to follow that would be usher. Potter, but usher. Dr. Gemara, the Mishnah means to say that there are those knots that are potter but usher. Examples of which would be like the knot to tie the leash to the ring in the nose of the animal, or to tie the anchor to the ring of the ship, those are potter, but they're usher. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, and there are even some knots which are mutter to be done on Shabbos, and it gives a list of those knots that are actually mutter to be done and undone on Shabbos.